I think we all know that life has been turned upside down since March when the pandemic was announced or declared, and we were told to stay at home, many of us. And it was a form. Everyone had been an incredibly stressful time just because of all the uncertainty, not knowing what's going on, causing a lot of anxiety. We are dealing with a new coronavirus. Nobody knew how it behaved, how people's health would be affected. No one knew about the death rate. Well, no one knew how many people around us were infected. And so a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. And Yana was mentioning how a lot of people are still quite afraid of thinking about going back to school or going outside. And along this, at the same time, because of the stay-at-home order, we are witnessing record level of unemployment. And we kept hearing about the economic collapse around us. We don't know what's going to happen. A lot of us may not have our job, or we may not have the industry we live in may be forever changed by this. Our financial future, our livelihood, also a lot of uncertainty. And another thing that's also happening during the past 2 weeks, 2 months, three almost 3 months, is the racial disparity in our country in clear display. And as the outbreak continue, we began to learn that infection rate among African American, for example, is much higher than the general population. And also a lot of essential workers or frontline workers also tend to be people of color, and they do not have appropriate protection provided by their employer. It's very painful to see, for example, healthcare workers having to put their life at risk without the basic protective equipment. And a lot of grocery store workers being forced to go to work, or food processing plant workers risking infection even though there's outbreak at their workplace. And also I've heard of harsh enforcement of the stay-at-home order in area residential area of with predominantly minority Americans. And so these are just a few examples of the racial disparity that's also going on, compounding the pain and anxiety experienced by all of us during the pandemic. And it's very painful to watch how, when we started talking about the need to wear a mask to protect each other from infection, that Black Americans have to fear for their life wearing a mask out in public, or to go do things that other people take for granted, like go jogging, and to just any police encounter. And the protest that we have seen in response to the tragic and senseless loss of life, the most recent one being that of George Floyd. And I was asked to address to help us think about the experience of anger and frustration that had been showing up. And there might be anger or frustration experience, perhaps because of anger at the lack of progress. And also, this is not new. This has been going on for a long time. And there's a lot of frustration at the silence and the lack of action in response to violence against and the high infection rate among especially Black Americans. Because it leaves us feeling that nobody cares. That's the Black Lives Matter movement. I think it's important that we do that, make our voice heard. And the protests that broke out last week in response to what happened help us remember that what's been happening is unjust. And it's not in accordance with our shared value of equality, human rights, and justice for all that we believe and share. So if anybody thinks that that's okay, that's, we made it clear that's not okay. And what happened is for people who practice meditation, there's this assumption that meditation, to meditate, to practice meditation, is about never being angry. And if you feel angry, it's like, oh, something's wrong with my practice. I'm doing something wrong. And also related to that, there is this sort of subtle, very common misunderstanding that practicing meditation is about sort of being passive, like you just want to be peaceful, you don't do anything even though something outrageous is happening. And I want to point out that those are misunderstanding about a practice. And it's important to understand that when we are faced with injustice, unfair treatment, anger is a normal and natural response. If you're not angry, like what's happening? Maybe you're in denial, you're pretending that nothing wrong is happening, or somehow you have twisted things in your mind to make yourself believe that what's happening, it's okay. So if that's not happening, meaning you're not in denial, you haven't twisted your mind into trying to make yourself to believe what's happening that's really problematic, it's okay, then anger is normal in response to what's happening. And the clarity cultivated through meditation actually allows us to be aware of the feeling we call anger arising in us. And sometimes, along with that, we may be aware of how we are trying to block the anger. If we have the belief that I'm not supposed to be angry, then so we feel the anger. We also have that, we can also see how we are working hard to pretend that it's not there. And we feel all that tension arising in our mind and in our body to fight that battle. So the clarity based on relaxation that we cultivate in our meditative practice allow us to see there's this anger arising. And only when we are aware that there is anger arising that we will have the opportunity to choose to use it skillfully to bring benefits to the world and to minimize the destructive potential of anger. That's the reason why some people are so afraid of anger, right? They try to pretend that it's not there or try to suppress it. So I mentioned the skillful use of anger. It's important to recognize that what we call anger can also be understood as a form of emotional energy that can serve to motivate us to do extraordinary things that we normally would not have the courage to do, right? Such as joining a protest. Many people have done that in the past few days. I read about a story of a woman in Houston She was trying to decide whether to take her 8-year-old daughter to join a protest. And she has a lot of worry and fear because of the danger of getting infected in a crowd, in a crowded protest area. And of course, also the protest, police brutality that's around in the protest. It's very dangerous to do that. And but she decided to take her daughter to join the protest because she felt that it was important to be part of the change, to build a better future for her daughter, also to show her daughter that what happened was wrong and we need to stand up and say something. So this, what we call anger, actually really is a form of moral outrage that we feel, that we experience when we, as a member, as the member of a community, witness the violation of our shared values and norms, that we know what's right, and then we see something wrong has been done. And it's natural to feel this moral outrage that we call anger. And when we have this clarity, we remember our interconnectedness with everyone. So it's not like, oh, that happened, that doesn't have anything to do with me. It won't affect me. It won't affect my daughter. Of course it does. We are all interconnected. And so when we remember this without clarity, then we know, we will know clearly that it is up to us to do something or not to preserve and maintain the value, such as justice and equality that we cherish. They don't just happen. We have to work to preserve and maintain and promote them. So what we felt as anger that motivated us to do these extraordinary things really is where we are moved out of love and concern for our shared future, for everyone, including ourselves, to act. So the meditative practice, you might remember in our guided meditation, if we, Kiana mentioned how it's really relaxing. So when we engage in meditative practice, one thing it does is to stabilize our mind. So we may have this very scattered mind that causes us to kind of be confused, not quite know what's going on. So when we stabilize our mind using the method of meditation, we are also able to see and understand more clearly what is arising in the mind. What used to be, what we might feel quite confused, become a little bit clearer. So, for example, you can see, oh yeah, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling frustrated. You can see, instead of just kind of, you just feel like not well, something wrong, but you don't know why it is. Oh, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. And so this clarity includes a number of things. It can allow us to see many things. One part of it is that this clarity allows us to be aware, not just the arising of the anger, but also aware of the destructive potential of anger. And so we will feel that in by directly experiencing this experience we call anger. We may notice this feeling of tension in our mind, thoughts of what we call hatred that might arise, maybe the sort of this desire to blame someone, to inflict pain on someone, to revenge, to maybe just to vent a lot of pent-up frustrations that are really quite destructive. We might have experienced it or witnessed other people with that ourselves. And when we have this more settled and clear mind from our meditative practice, then we can see all these thoughts and feelings arising one after the other. But we don't have to be compelled automatically to act them out. We see them, but we don't compulsively act them out. When we don't see them, we have no chance. This thought come up, we just act them out. Okay? And instead, we find there's this space in this clarity where we can ask ourselves, is this going to cause harm to ourselves and others? If I decide to, for example, vent my frustration by inflicting some harm on others, some pain on others. In that moment, you might feel like, oh, it's going to make me feel good. But like, we have a moment to think, is it going to cause harm to others and also ourselves? And also, what am I doing? Is it if our goal is to bring benefit to the world? We ask ourselves, is what we're going to do in this moment going to bring benefit to others and also ourselves? Because when we bring benefit to others, we also benefit ourselves. So we have this clarity that allow us to ask ourselves. Then we will have the opportunity to see that, yep, this is not helpful. This is destructive. So we will, yeah, we may see all those thoughts arising, this very strong temptation to act a certain way, but we refrain from doing that, refrain from destructive and unhelpful actions. And also, we allow our shared sense of moral outrage to build solidarity. So especially if we find ourselves either maybe out joining a protest or maybe gathering with someone, talking to someone about what's going on, we all share this sense of moral outrage and feel this sense of connectedness, solidarity. And one story I read that really moved me was this woman. She was tear gassed in one of the protests, and strangers around her just pour some solution to help her take out the stink in her eyes. And she was just so moved that these are just strangers and they're just helping me. Yeah, because we allow ourselves to truly see our shared humanity, our connectedness, to build solidarity from our shared experience. And we are also allowing ourselves to bring accountability to those who have acted wrongfully, not out of vengeance or hatred or desire to inflict pain, but it's out of love. Because when we are trying to bring accountability to those who have acted wrongfully, we are actually helping them to stop more wrongful actions. Because from our experience, we know when we suffer, we engage in actions that cause harm to others. And that is not joyful. It's suffering itself. So we are helping them by bringing accountability. And this is part of the out of the clarity that we cultivate from our meditative practice, because we can see that everything is the coming together of causes and conditions, meaning that what we do or do not do in this moment will shape the future moments. So it's out of love and out of our trust that change is possible, positive change is possible from our collective action. So what we're cultivating is the mind of hope and love instead of allowing our mind to fall into the unhelpful habit of despair, hopelessness, or cynicism, that suffering. So the clarity of mind that we cultivate allow us to keep in mind the purpose of what we are doing. If, for example, we engage in action or we engage in protest, we're giving voice to the fact that what happened was unacceptable and needs to change, and we as a society can do better than this. And so, the meditative practice in Chan, like I mentioned earlier, many people sort of believe that it's about just being peaceful and never getting angry, and remind me of the teaching shared by my master, Chan Master Shen Yan, about the cultivation of angry determination. So it is a way to transform this energy we call anger into something that will help us build commitment and resolve to pursue something that's worthwhile. So you might have experienced this before when you're in meditation. Maybe there's like a lot of physical discomfort, some pain in your knees that kind of makes I don't want to do this anymore. Or like there might be like very strong temptation to just give up and go do something that's what we believe is more fun at that time, but really it's just these all kind of habit that we use to distract ourselves, like watching more TV or play more video games or drink or whatever it is that we do, like to distract our mind. So this angry determination is like, yeah, I know this, and I'm going to stay with this. Yes, it might be painful. Maybe it's like, even when the meditation is not one that is like a very calm, it's like there's a lot of agitation in the mind, but I commit to practicing, to return to the method over and over again, gently, with patience, in relaxation. And we practice that in our meditation. In the same way, we can transform anger and frustration that may arise into resolve and commitment to doing the work to bring positive changes for the cause we see as worthwhile. It's not going to succeed overnight. It may not even happen in our lifetime. But we do what we can, whatever it is. Some people are doing it, registering voters, running for office, educating people. And because we know everything we do now helps shape the future moment. And we may not see the result we're hoping for in our lifetime, but we have benefited from the efforts of people before us. They didn't think, I shouldn't bother because it may not do anything in my lifetime. But if they didn't do that, we won't have the world we have now. So out of love and also gratitude for those before us, we do what we can to contribute to the future generation. And that is a way to transform this energy from what we call anger into determination and resolve to bring about positive change. So I hope this can help us think about how we can use our meditative practice in addition to being a way to help us deal with our stress, to also stay engaged in the challenging environment around us. It may be other issues that we would like to commit our life to. But whatever it is going to take patience. Like practice itself is a lifelong practice. So a worthwhile cause would be one that will take more than our own lifetime to accomplish.
Thank you, Dr. Lee.